Okay. Turn to page 5 of our retreat chanting book. We will do the morning chanting now. I will ring the bell, then the Ingbi can start.
To the Blessed One, the Lord, who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which He expounded so well, and to the Blessed One's disciples who have practiced well, to this the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render with offerings our rightful homage. It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still had compassion for later generations. May these simple offerings be accepted for our long-lasting benefit and for the happiness it gives us. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed one, I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed one. The teaching so completely explained by Him, I bow to the Dhamma, the Blessed One's disciples who have practiced well. I bow to the Sangha.
Now let us pay preliminary homage to the Buddha.
Homage to Him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One. Homage to Him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One. Homage to Him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One.
Now let us chant in praise of the Buddha.
The Tathagata is the pure one, the perfectly enlightened one. He is impeccable in conduct and understanding, the accomplished one, the knower of the worlds. He trains perfectly those who wish to be trained. He is teacher of gods and humans. He is awake and holy in this world with its gods, demons, and kind spirits, its seekers and sages, celestial and human beings. He has by deep insights revealed the truth. He has pointed out the Dhamma, beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, beautiful in the end. He has explained the spiritual life of complete purity in its essence and conventions. I chant my praise to the Blessed One. I bow my head to the Blessed One.
Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma.
Well expounded is the Dhamma of the Blessed One. Can be realized in the here and the now, beyond time, beyond thought, inviting investigation, leading inwards to the heart, Nibbana. can be understood by the wise each for themselves. I chant my praise to this teaching. I bow my head to this truth.
Now let us chant in praise of the Sangha.
They are the blessed ones, disciples, who have good conduct, who have upright conduct, who have wise conduct, who have dutiful conduct. That is the four paths, the eight kinds of noble beings. These are the blessed ones, disciples. Such ones are worthy of gifts, worthy of hospitality, worthy of offerings, worthy of respect. They give occasion for incomparable goodness to arise in the world. I chant my praise to this Sangha. I bow my head to this Sangha.
Now let us chant our salutation to the Triple Gem and a passage of encouragement.
The Buddha, absolutely pure with ocean-like compassion, possessing the clear sight of wisdom, destroyer of worldly self-corruption, devotedly indeed that Buddha I revere. The teaching of the Lord, like a lamp, illuminating the path and its fruit, the deathless, that which is beyond the conditioned world. Devotedly indeed, that Dhamma I revere, the Sangha, the most fertile ground for cultivation. Those who have realized peace, awakened after the accomplished one, noble and wise, or longing abandoned, devotedly indeed, that Sangha I revere. This salutation should be made to that which is worthy. Through the power of such good action, may all obstacles disappear. One who knows things as they are has come into this world, and he is an Arahant, a perfectly awakened being, purifying the way, leading out of delusion, coming and directing to perfect peace and leading to enlightenment. This way he has made known. Having heard the teaching, we know this.
Birth is suffering, suffering. Aging is suffering, sickness and disease is suffering, and death is suffering. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are suffering. Association with the dislike is suffering. Separation from one's loved ones and our prized possession is suffering. Not attaining one's wishes is suffering. In brief, the five aggregates of grasping are suffering. These are as follows: identification with the body, identification with feeling, identification with perception, identification with mental formations, identification with consciousness. For the complete understanding of this, the Blessed One in his lifetime frequently instructed his disciples in just this way. In addition,
he further instructed,
the body is impermanent, feeling is impermanent, perception is impermanent,
mental formations are impermanent, consciousness is impermanent, the body is non-self, feeling is non-self,
perception is non-self,
mental formations are non-self, consciousness is non-self, all conditioned phenomena are impermanent, there is no self in the conditioned and in the unconditioned, all of us are bound by birth, aging, sickness and death, by sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief and despair, bound by suffering and obstructed by suffering. Let us all aspire to complete freedom from suffering. The Blessed One, who long ago attained Parinibbana, is our refuge. So too are the Dhamma and the Sangha. Attentively we follow the pathway of that Blessed One with all our mindfulness and strength. May then the cultivation of this practice lead us to the end of all this kind of suffering. Okay, we will chant the closing hymn, homage in Pali. Arahang sama sabdo bhagawa buddhang bhagawantang abhiwademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you all can be seated. According to the program, 9 o'clock, we're supposed to have meditation. Okay, we still got 20 minutes. Okay. I will share with you from this book. This is a new book, Understanding the Heart and the Mind. They are still available at the back. You can collect them. So we have covered the first part. Now we will cover the second part. Turn to page 14. Those who haven't have a copy can collect at the back. This is the latest book. Page 14, the mind, so that you all can understand. Coming back to this mind, it has a lot to do with the brain. Because without the brain, there is no mind consciousness. And what is brain? It is mainly memory. So this brain is mainly memory. And what is thought? Thought is response to memory. That's how thought consciousness come to be. Because the brain has this memory. So human beings tend to think a lot. That is why deluded human beings always send their consciousness up to the brain and develop heedless thinking leading to suffering. For those who understand, who meditate,
they know without wisdom, this pointing towards the brain area is hell. Do you know why this is hell? Because acting according to memory is not acting at all. Why is it so? And what are the memories that we accumulate or keep in our brain? Accumulation is attachment. That's why in the Mahayana teaching, the Four Noble Truths, the Theravada is different. The Mahayana is slightly different. They use this word, 苦集灭道. So the first one is the same, Noble Truth of Suffering, 苦. But second one, Theravada is cause of arising of suffering, samudaya. But Mahayana say accumulation is actually the same. Cause of arising of suffering is actually craving. And craving is actually accumulation. When you accumulate, you hold, you cling. That's why they actually understood the Dhamma. That's why they changed it to accumulation. The other meaning of accumulation is you accumulate karma. As long as you accumulate karma, you will have to come back unless you develop the wisdom to become arahan and beyond. Then you can severe the 10 fetters. So this part is important. That's why I say accumulation is attachment where you cling, you hold. So during that Thursday class, I say, look here on the whiteboard. What is memory? That is at Suyan's house. Read it out loud. Okay, we read together. Yes, accumulation of experiences, good and bad. So whatever you experience as you go through life, all these experiences, good or bad, they are in your brain. And these experiences include your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your phobia, your scars of memory, your whatever sadness and unhappiness. Of course, there are also happy moments which you can recall. But most of the time, they tend to hold on to all your negative psychological fear, phobia, scars of memory, etc. Then they also accumulate and store your views, opinion, conditioning, selfishness, emotional negativity, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your delusion. So all these are accumulated there. So you use that to act. You are acting out of fear, acting out of your delusion, selfishness, emotional negativity, scars of memory, phobia. All these things are evil root. All this will lead to wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. That's why coming downfall. But human beings got no other way of acting because they lack wisdom. They only have the memory, the views, opinion, and conditioning. That's the reason why living beings without the Dhamma, they will suffer. They will become afflicted. So with this, I will read on. You seldom accumulate good memory. You tend to accumulate all the rubbish most of the time. And what are they? They are your fear, your phobia, and your scars of memory, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, and your insecurity. Because human being has this delusion. Everything that is related to their life, they think they can own them, and they want to have security over them. Do you know what is security? Security is you want to be safe, you want to be secure, not only you, your loved one, your things that you hold on to. One thing to be saved is a craving. Do you understand? When you cannot get what you want, what happens? You suffer. When you feel insecure, what do? You grill up your whole house. And if you are still scared, you install security cameras. Then you install alarm system. Nowadays, society is so unsafe. The brain, which has strong craving for security, will have fear, worry, and anxiety. Feeling insecure is the cause of fear. So please understand this. Read through this page until you understand. Then you will know what you are doing all this while. Living being got no other way of acting. They just have this memory, brain, together with your thought. That's why you act that way, you will suffer. You have to develop heedfulness to understand the truth, to awaken to the truth. Then you can act according to wisdom. That's why that they ask Get Hun to come out and write, because he says still learning. After so many years, still learning. So always remember, you have to act according to understanding and wisdom. No other way to free the mind except wisdom. Wisdom free, nothing else. So when you act according to wisdom, which is the fourth noble truth as taught by the Buddha, he said, if you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. It will lead to enlightenment in the here and the now. And what is noble eightfold path? Right view leading to all the wholesome state of right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, including the four right effort to constantly purify the way we arise our thoughts, speech, and action, and the way we live our life. Then it's all about sati and samadhi. And all these are related to life. And these are all wholesome, no negativity. And this Noble Eightfold Path, in fact, is the advice of the Buddha. The advice of the Buddha is to avoid all evil, do good. To avoid evil, you must have right view to keep your precept, to cultivate mindfulness so that you can have sense restraint, so that you can arise the right thought, right speech, and right action, and the right way to live your life. So the sense restraint, you will need to develop it until the four right effort come in. When the four right effort come in, then you can arise the three way of right conduct. That's how you avoid all evil and do good. Then only sati and samadhi come in. That is what the four foundation of mindfulness is all about. After that only you can cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness to awaken, to arise all the understanding, the wisdom, the awakening. So Noble Eightfold Path is the most important. So when we talk about acting according to wisdom, means we act according to Noble Eightfold Path guideline. We must have right view to face the reality of the moment, to face whatever we confront in life, whatever situation or condition. When you have right view, then you are not deluded. You are not deceived. Then you will understand the teaching very clearly. The teaching of all Sammasambuddha is the same. You have to realize this very important truth or insight into this conditioned world. Yi qie yu wei fa means everything within the conditioned world is conditioned dhamma. You must understand. So conditioned dhamma means when condition is such, things will be such. Now you give me the idea. I changed the word like that. change to such. Yeah? Oh, but this one cannot. No, think also such. Don't think also such. Never mind. Leave it. So when condition is such, things will be such. Yeah? That one better. So how do we look at life? The first right view is we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So whatever happened to our life is definitely related to karma. Do you understand? So you accept first. Then you don't get angry. You don't react. You don't project your thought and develop the fear. All this will not help you. The only thing that will help you is stay calm. Be at peace. Do not stir your mind. Do not project your thought. Do not allow all this karmic negativity to arise, to condition the negativity of karma. But if you do that, you will set condition for more and more negative karma, friction, karmic friction to arise. That's why your life will be miserable. You cannot solve your problem. To solve your problem is the acceptance of the reality through right view, wisdom. So when that right view is there, your mind is different. Then with the clear mind, which is at peace, you can look at the life situation. You can look at reality, what actually happened. Then you ask yourself, you inquire, if that is the case with right view, then I understand. Very likely in the past I must have done this to people. Now I become the victim where there is condition. Fair enough. Then I accept. Once I accept, I tell myself, how can I resolve this amicably? To resolve this amicably is very simple. I just have to do what I have to do. You understand? And what is it that you have to do? It's nature's law. You need to ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Then determine not to repeat all this from now onward. Means to show that you are sincere. Then after that, follow the advice of the Buddha if you are to carry out what you have affirmed. Means not to repeat all this karmic negativity that can bring about suffering. So when you follow the advice of the Buddha, you start to develop the cultivation. You start to develop wholesomeness, merits, virtue. These are your parami. These are your whatever spiritual wealth. Then the third one is to invoke power of merits, blessing, for causes and conditions for you to recover or to turn around or to resolve all this amicably. Then act. Act with wisdom. Act with Noble Eightfold Path. All your problems will be resolved. This is what I use to help people. Nothing else. So, if this is clear to you, then you go back, make sure you understand, then apply it in life. First, apply to yourself, to your own family member. You can help your family member, you can clear your own problem, then that is the beginning of the living Dhamma. Then you start to have the ability to help people, to share your understanding with people. Otherwise, it's still mainly knowledge. But you all have improved, have changed. Yeah? The way you respond to situation has improved. But what I want to do this retreat is to make it very clear so that you understand the big picture. You understand what you are doing, what you have to do. So always remember, you do what you have to do through understanding. Means you have to act according to wisdom, born of Noble Eightfold Path, to resolve every issue amicably so that there is no more problem. Clear? Sadhu. Very good. Sadhu. Then the next one, 3.3.4. The highest security and the best protection. This is what you must understand as a Buddhist, as a cultivator, as a Dhamma friend, as a practitioner, as a spiritual, what do you call, friend. The highest security and the best protection, according to the Buddha, is virtue, nothing else. Your virtue. That's why have faith in your virtue, have faith in your cultivation, have faith in your karma. When you have that understanding and that faith, you just echo and flow. Nothing will go wrong. Even the past karma last time you have committed, it will to come to fruition. The nature's law is such, when you have wisdom and understanding, when it cannot afflict you anymore, where you know how to resolve it, then it will reverse. That's why you got no more problem. So if you know how to attend to all this, you were free. Your mind were free. Okay, I read on, then you will understand. What is the highest security according to the Buddha? Yes, refuge in the triple gem. That's why you take refuge. Every day we chant, Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, and Sanghang saranang gacchami. So taking refuge in the triple gem is the highest security. And this is refuge safe, or true refuge safe. What is the triple gem? The Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. When you go to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha for refuge, the Dhamma will be there. Because all the three refuges have the Dhamma. First refuge is the Buddha, the fully enlightened one. Since he is fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue, he surely has the Dhamma. If you take refuge in the Dhamma, that is the Buddha's teaching. You definitely have the right teaching. When you take refuge in the Aryan Sangha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, they will also have the Dhamma. Therefore, when you take refuge, you will have the Dhamma to develop the cultivation. You will know how to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, to good, or wholesomeness, and purify your mind. When you do that, you take care of karma, you develop wisdom and virtue, which is the highest security. See? Wisdom and virtue. Without virtue, there is no protection. But without wisdom, there is no virtue. Do you understand? Without wisdom, that so-called virtue is your version. Do good, good according to you. But when there is wisdom, everything you do is virtuous. Where you are incapable of delusion, incapable of negativity. That's why you need wisdom to arise virtue. If you want to check your cultivation, it's very easy. End of the day, do you develop more and more virtue born of your understanding? And they are to be reflected in the Noble Eightfold Path. If the Noble Eightfold Path is not part of you, then that is not the enlightenment that the Buddha is referring to. Yeah. The Buddha said, only virtues protect, nothing else. If you do not have virtue, you may secure your whole house with locks and grill, but you are still not safe. Because the nature's law is such, you reap what you sow. If you want to have the good life, the happy life, make sure you do not break the precept, the society's rule. Without fear, your mind state is peaceful, calm, and secure. You do not need to have any worry. You do not need to feel insecure because you can trust your karmic nature and your virtue. They asked the Buddha, what is the highest protection? Do you know what the Buddha's reply was? He said, virtue is the highest protection. So virtue is more important. Because virtue is the highest and best protection. When you feel insecure, you are fearful. You develop worry and anxiety. You lack peace and you lack confidence. You lack Dhamma understanding. It is because of that human beings fail to understand the importance of virtue as the highest and best protection. If you do not take care of your life through following the advice of the Buddha and cultivating the Buddha Dhamma, nothing is secure in this world. Since the best protection and security is virtue, That is why when you take care of karma, karma will take care of your life. That's it. When you understand this, you have nothing to fear. Whatever that happened, there are causes and conditions behind. That is the reality. You do what you have to do. So when you do not act according to memory, which is full of your conditioning, negative accumulation, wrong view, tradition, beliefs, belief system, insecurity, scars of memory, and all your other phobia, you will become beautiful through acting according to wisdom or understanding, following Noble Eightfold Path. When you have wrong view, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion will manifest in your mind. If you then act according to your memory, you are not acting at all, because basing on your memory, you will act according to your fear, your phobia, your selfishness, your wrong view, evil roots and conditioning, etc. That is why it is not acting at all. How then should you act? Yes, you should act according to understanding or wisdom, following the Noble Eightfold Path, which is true action. Why can't you act according to your understanding, which is the Dhamma or wisdom way? If I follow Noble Eightfold Path, starting with right view, I will act appropriately. What is the first right view? It is the law of karma, where according to the Buddha, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So our entire life depends on karma. Then what are you waiting for? With this right view, you will know how to act based on what the Buddha had taught. That is, whatever that arises in this world or in this universe, there are causes and conditions behind. And what can be the causes and conditions? It is definitely karma. Because you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. And you are what you are because of your karma. This right view will enable you to act without delusion. If you know it is karma, are you going to blame others or yourself? Are you going to get angry, become reactive, and stir your emotion to become unhappy, miserable, and fearful? You will not do that because you understand this is coming. This is what you might have done in the past to others. And that is how its fruition can manifest when there is condition. When you understand this, you will accept the reality of the moment. You will not project your thought or mind to develop the fear, worry, and anxiety. You are at peace. There is clarity of mind, and you can act appropriately through asking yourself, what actually happened? How can I resolve all this amicably through following Noble Eightfold Path? With right view, I will arise the right thought, right speech, and right action. I can act, speak, and think the appropriate right thought, so that I can resolve all problems and issues amicably following Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. It is Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, which is also the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify our mind. So this is how you should act. Act with wisdom. The second right view is right view with regards to the law of karma, citta niyama, especially the law of dependent origination, the dwelling, needed to understand how you function as a human being and how your mind functions. Then the third right view is with regards to all the other essential dhamma or truth, nama niyama. These are the other teaching, the essential dhamma of the Buddha, the Four Noble Truths and its three turnings. Spin off all the essential Dhamma. With that, you will know how to act. You will know what suffering is. You will know the cause of its arising. And you will understand how suffering can end. Where suffering need not be a cessation of suffering. The enlightened state of Nibbana can be realized in the here and the now. So no need to wait until death. What is the path to realize it? Yes, cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. That's why you need to act with wisdom following Noble Eightfold Path. That is true and right action. with this understanding, the whole teaching becomes clear that whatever other people said to you regarding all those fantastic meditation, like psychic ability, magic, etc., are not important. If the meditation does not bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, forget about it, because that is not the teaching of the Buddha. If you do all those funny meditation, it is of no use because it will not lead to awakening. Focusing, doing one-pointedness concentration, develop jhana, etc., and become like a superman is of not much use. After understanding all this, I can now explain to you today's topic on the heart and the mind. Okay, we stop here. Page 19. This book is very important, I tell you. You better go back and read. Every line is full of very penetrative Dhamma. It also explains the conscience, the gateway, the nature, everything. Because this is due to the condition that arise, because this teaching wants to come out. That's why later on, if I have time, I will read through, then you will understand. It's explained at the back. So remember to go through this book. Read through it slowly, like what I shared with you yesterday, so that you really understand. Then determine to make it into a living reality. Means you can apply it so that this understanding can be a part of you. And you really have the embodiment of the Buddha Dharma to guide you to live life. And this will be the most beautiful if you can do it. You will awaken. Then you will understand a lot of things. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can have your meditation now. I give you 1 hour. 1 hour. We can off the light, then you can have your silent meditation. If you want to sit, if you want to lie down, if you want to walk, if you want to bow. Then if you want to go out and relax your mind, contemplate, reflect, then come back and sit, you can also do that. It's up to you. Inside the box. The other layer, inside the box. Open up the box. The other side. Okay.